It's time to talk sports in Northeast North Carolina. This is NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
Hey, where are you running to, Malcolm?
Just running back from the parking lot.
We got way too much to discuss to be running right now. This is the 39th episode of the second season of the NENC Sports Radio Show. That's a mouthful because it's been a lot of episodes, a lot of talk, a lot of good times. It's coming close to an end, but we got a little bit more to talk about. Owen Hassel, sports editor for the Daily Advance newspaper in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, smack dab in the northeast corner of the Tar Heel State. With me, as always, Malcolm Shields, Advance sports writer. Malcolm, we were on to something last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to figure out loud who was the next football coach at Pasquotank. OMG. I mean, gee, how did we miss that?
I don't know.
We were dancing all over it.
We were right there.
Sometimes it's like right in front of you. You can't see the forest from the trees kind of talk, and that's what happened to us. The man in question, Chris McGee.
There you go.
Leaving Camden after two seasons as head coach to take the Panthers' top job. He's with us to break it all down. Worst kept secret in the area, hence our joking last week about it. This thing went on for about at least 2 weeks or so. But it's now official. Coach, can you breathe a little easier? You are now the Pasquotank guy.
I can. Well, it all happened pretty quick for me, but it did. It delayed probably a week longer than I thought. But, yes, I am definitely breathing a little easier, and it's now a weekend, three days in the spring workouts because we jumped right into it, but it feels good.
So much more to catch up to with Coach, obviously playoffs as well. But first, we got to get through our usual stuff. More on Northeastern North Carolina sports. Follow us on Twitter. Also use the hashtag NENC Sports to keep the discussion rolling. You can follow us at NENC Sports. Then for me, I'm at ONOBX, Malcolm.
And Malcolm _ Shields.
Coach McGee took off some of the Camden stuff a few days before the before it was official on the Twitter. Don't think we didn't see that.
I did.
But what is your Twitter handle?
At Chris McGee 8.
You did have the Camden 8 on there. I think you took that out too, right?
Oh, boy.
No. No, too soon?
We didn't have an 8 at Camden, actually. That actually goes back to the Northeastern days. But,
there it is.
Yeah.
All right, more ways to stay involved with sports in Northeastern North Carolina in the form of a blog. Go to nencsports.wordpress.com for tidbits that aren't always in the Daily Advance, plus interviews and video from various Northeastern North Carolina games.
Hey, this is Bria, representing the ECSU D-Lights cheerleading squad, and you're listening to NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
Very unrelated note to NENC Sports, because I like all types of music. The 50th anniversary this week of one of the greatest albums of all time, the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds. That's one of the songs from the masterpiece, of course. Incredible album. Good stuff. 50 years. Wow. Okay, that's being done. Want to talk in depth with Coach McGee about the move. However, state playoffs really running hard right now. The Running Man Challenge, this is running just as hard. Coach, feel free to chime in, because I know you've got some strong connections still with Camden, and you're a few innings away from winning a state championship yourself with Camden softball back in 2012.
That's correct. We were. Yeah, won the first game, the best 2 out of 3, and we're tied into the sixth inning of the second game. So, yeah, we were close.
Wow. That would have been the first ever team state championship for Camden, Malcolm. Mm. All those years.
Yeah.
Never have one.
That close.
Yeah, I think it was 67 years at the time, so it's pushing almost into 70 now.
Cool. Wow. So, we'll start with softball. Northeastern Coastal Conference champ Currituck lost in the second round to Washington. Young team, though, only losing one starter and likely three-time all-area players. Lindsey Likens, Jesse Wilson, they'll be back. Big bat Morgan Owens, Jessica Smith, speedy infielder. I think Karen Booker's got a lot to look forward to, Malcolm, in 2017. Probably pretty easy to think the Lady Knights are going to dominate that conference. Again, I don't see anybody coming close.
No, I mean, maybe Edenton, but, you know, they've got to do a little bit more growing in Northeastern. They're going to lose Umflett. So, I mean, it's going to be it looks like Currituck's going to be that team.
Yeah, Abigail Umflett, Megan Latsko, Olivia Sutton are gone. That was like that last piece of the two or three really strong years for Northeastern is now leaving. So they're going to be as much of a question mark maybe as anybody, right, save Hereford County, in the Northeastern Coastal Conference. Call it like it is. That's what it is. Camden Falls at East Carteret. Lady Bruins co-holder of the Coastal 10 Conference, however, Bequemins beat Jones Senior 8-3 on Wednesday. That's their second straight fourth round appearance. They're going to play number one Princeton, number one 1A East team Princeton in the fourth round on Friday. Bequemins looked really good. Jones Senior did not look like a team that should have been in the third round. First inning, five runs for the Lady Pirates. There were plays where Jones Senior in the outfield just let balls fall in front of them. It was really, what was strange about it, that was, that happens, and then the next couple innings, they're making web gems left and right. Outfielders now snagging balls and stuff. What was this in the first inning? This could have been a game. However, Jones comes back, gets a few runs, three of them, in fact, and then Mandapuli, big time, three RBI double. That pretty well sealed things for Bequemins, and Caitlin Christian got herself back on track. Six strikeouts for the sophomore. In my view, the best pitcher in the area.
It's hard to argue that one.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been the rock for Bequemins so far in the circle this year.
All right. And every once in a while she'll have that inning, but every pitcher does.
Right.
Other than that, her speed, it's hard for batters to catch up to it. When you got third round hitters that are having trouble with it in the top of the order, that's saying something. Can Bequemins win at Princeton? I don't know. Princeton seems to be a very solid 1A school in all sports, and Coach understands that from playing Princeton in football a couple years ago. Of course, they had a guy on the team that was like an 8-star running back, and Johnny Frazier.
I played Princeton. My last game as a softball coach was against Princeton. We faced them in the fourth round, lost 6-4 at home 2 years ago. And then, you know, we faced them the past 2 years in the playoffs.
Right.
They got us 2 years ago, and then we beat them this year in the first round. But I can say, and I'm kind of out of the loop with softball, but Coach Sproul at Bequemins, I have a lot of respect for him. I mean, I had a chance to coach against him a few years, and I think he's really, really good. But when we faced Princeton 2 years ago, they had three pitchers that threw over 60. They put the ball in play as well as any team that we played in my 4 years doing it. So I know it'll definitely be a test. Like you said, Princeton seems to just be good in all sports, but it sounds like Bequemins is rolling.
Yeah, of course, the winner of that gets to be in that East Regional three-game series. That's when you really start to see what teams have, especially on the baseball side. And, of course, Gates, let's talk about Gates softball losing second round. Manio lost in the second round to Trask. But baseball, Bequemins Camden, great game on Saturday. Second round of the 1As. Hated to see two rivals like that to play so early, but that's just how it falls. When one team wins a conference, the other one finishes third. Great crowd, great plays. I don't want to single out any too many plays. Andrew Tyson for the Pirates, do it all. Tyler Beal for the Bruins. As far as the pitchers, I will say there was a pretty big play in this. By the way, Bequemins won 2-1, 8 innings. Maybe I should mention that. Reaching the third round, lost 7-4 at East Carteret on Tuesday. So Bequemins' season's done. Camden, obviously the heartbreaker to Bequemins, but this game was 1-1. Ben Cox comes up to the plate. Camden, here's your hitter. Two guys are on. They intentionally walk a player, those Bequemins, to go for the double play. They already have one out. Cox does get contact on the ball. The least you can do, don't strike out. Makes contact right to the shortstop. 6-4-3 Boom. It just, everything changed. You look at Camden, the head started to drop. Look at Perquimans, we have new life. And Tyler Beal, he has really just willed this team in some games. You've seen it, Malcolm.
Yes.
Especially with Manio at home.
Early, the second game of the season in late April. I mean, the kid was giving it his all after coming off an injury during practice. He on the mound, he willed them to that win, but they were able to get those key hits against Manio. But going back to Tyler, I mean, he's given everything that he could for that for Camden this year.
Yeah. And I mean, he was pulling like a Curt Schilling with that Manio game. Yes. No blood, but the idea of the fighting through the pain, not being 100% then. He had to pitch a few innings against Trask in that first round game, and I was worried that could come back to bite the Bruins. They just could not get the run support in those last couple of games. If they, Alex Islett didn't pitch a bad game in that first round, but he needed five or six runs to really to help him. And at that point, you'd only had two. So you had to put Tyler Beal in the game. Then he pitches 30, 40 pitches. I think you started to see that around the fifth or sixth inning against Perquimans. He wasn't throwing his best stuff, and Perquimans was continually making contact, just getting the barrel of the ball. I mean, they were doing things to make the defense work, and eventually got through with the hit for an RBI, Devin Mathis. Perquimans wins 2-1. Again, electric atmosphere. And one of the first things I noticed after the game was, first of all, Coach Justin Roberson for Perquimans, and Doug Leary from Camden, the coaches, embracing right after the game. No showboating or anything. Classy guys, really good friends, just leaving it all out there, both teams. And then after the post-game handshake, all that's being done, Camden players are just kind of composing themselves. Tyler Beal comes back over to the Perquimans dugout and shakes hands with a lot of the guys and with Coach Roberson, talks to him. Good luck to you. It was a pleasure playing you guys. Great game. Ton of class.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's 120. I could not have done that. I was too much of a whatever sometimes in high school. I could not have done that.
And for Tyler to have that frame of mind knowing that's his last high school game.
That's it.
I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah. Coach McGee, I don't know if you got to know Tyler Beal a whole lot, but you would say some of the same things about him and his character.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know him great. I know his mom and dad, who both teach in the system, and really good family, good people. And yeah, you know, he kind of, you know, he eats and sleeps and drinks baseball. I mean, that's his life, and he works extremely hard. I mean, I can tell you, we've been out on the field and seen him in the cages when it's 30 degrees outside. So, but like you said, you know, the Coach Leary, Coach Robertson over at Brooklyn, such good friends, and I mean, I saw a picture there. You have boys about the same age, really young boys that were sitting on the blanket while their dads are coaching the game, and so it's just kind of a neat atmosphere, you know. It's but like you said, I mean, the rivalry, obviously I've had a chance to be a part of it for 7 years, and believe me, those two schools want to beat each other bad, but there is a lot of respect also between them.
Now, you could have come to the game Saturday. I would have had to be your bodyguard, of course.
Oh, boy.
I could have, right? I could have done what I could to help you out. You know, just put a blanket over you or something. No one sees this person. And you could have watched the game.
Do a little Bobby Valentine with the glasses in
there. Yeah, the Bobby Valentine. That's it. Very good, Malcolm. Just letting it settle, I see. Well, let's turn now to Currituck, because we can't forget about the Knights. Rumors of the program's free fall greatly exaggerated. Knights, they lost 6-3 at Edenton, third round of the playoffs. Not a big surprise. Edenton just has a great team. Undefeated Northeastern Coastal Conference champ for a reason. But going into the playoffs, Currituck looking at a losing season for the first time since 2009. Needed a wild card just to get into the playoffs. Lost to Bertie for that third spot. Not in a good place, especially after last year having to hang on just to be 11-9. Knew that would be rebuilding after Evan Voliva graduates, goes to East Carolina to the pitch. Seeded 28th out of 32 teams in the 2A East, but then is the highest seed remaining or lowest seed. It's hard to remember that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Number 28.
Right.
No one was 29, 30, whatever. Mm-hmm. No one was any lower, higher, whatever than Currituck, 1A through 4A. They were it.
Yeah.
And got to the third round, came back for two victories, East Bladen, and then at First Flight last Saturday. Unbelievable. A guy named David Beaumont, he didn't play to start the year. All of a sudden, he's hitting go-ahead RBI. it's something else to see. Kudos to Coach Justin Hill keeping things together. But, Malcolm, you've covered Eaton a few times. You've seen the Aces, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth round now at Hicks Field. You know who they play next and what do you expect?
South Columbus, mm-hmm. Tentatively for Friday. If Edenton, if they can get off to a good start, they've got the potential to, you know, pick up the win on Friday. But they can't mess around and not score runs when they got runners in scoring position and not take advantage of it. If they go up against a team that's got another arm that can come out of the pen when the game is close and shut them down, that could be a problem. Because against Midway last Saturday in the second round, they kind of, you know, let Midway hang around, and Midway actually had the lead. And then once their starting pitcher kind of, you know, you can tell that he was starting to lose some of his velocity. That's when Edenton started to take advantage. So if Edenton get off to a fast start and, you know, continue to hit, they have a good chance to make it to that regional final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the 2A East wide open.
Yes, absolutely.
One seed out. Mm-hmm. Two seed out. It's looking like it could be if Edenton can pull off. And those Columbus schools are usually pretty good in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that the last 5, 6, 7 years, but if Edenton can hang on and win that game, would go to Fairmont for a three-round series to determine who the East winner is in 2A. I think we've talked about it a few times, the pitching depth
mm-hmm.
was going to be the difference for Edenton compared to other teams at a 2A level. You're still seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, when you going back to Saturday against Midway, when you've got Benfield and you can go Patrick Downham and then Dylan Patrick come in and close it out, that's not a lot of teams have that period in any classification, but Edenton has it. And then on Wednesday night for Edenton, Dylan Patrick went complete game, saved the arm. You got to think that that Patrick Downham's going to pitch Friday, and then Matt Benfield will be available. I mean, it's a luxury.
Yeah, and once again, once you get to those three-game series,
mm-hmm.
to have that many arms, and at that point, they'll probably all be fresh.
Yes.
Wow. Edenton fans, just calm down. Settle down a minute. I know I'm talking real big. I'm trying not to, but it does look nice.
Mm-hmm.
It has opened up really nice. I'm actually wearing like a royal blue, like
yes.
Edenton shirt right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, so, yes.
Yeah, a little bit. And the only other problem with that is people would say, oh, that looks kind of like Duke. It's not Duke. It's not Duke. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes.
Put some respect on it. It's not Duke.
Mm-hmm.
So there are others, though, making the fourth round from the Northeastern Coastal Conference. Currituck girls soccer, ladies and gentlemen, beating up on Dixon 6-1. That game was tied at half. In the second half, I saw the photos and some video that they played on Dixon's football field. There were mud puddles or mud holes, whatever. I can't believe they allowed them to play on that. That was a safety issue.
No
but
doubt.
talking to one of the Currituck parents, he said, Owen, it was actually a blessing because all those holes were on Dixon's side trying to score. And it was like they were extra defenders. And then we talk about like the 4-4-2 alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 6-6-3 alignment for Currituck at that point, thanks to the extra the mud holes. And once Sidney Phillips got going with those two goals, and then Dixon's, I think it was the keeper that got a red card. They were down a player, not the keeper. They just put someone else in, but mm-hmm. had to take somebody else out, something like that. It was all she wrote. And all of a sudden, Currituck is just handling
mm-hmm.
a conference champion. So, Sidney Phillips, Madison Lutz, Annie Ammons, Sarah Dover and company, they've got the program in its longest playoff trek ever. Guess who is waiting for them in round four on Friday? It's going to be Friday.
Particular school in Dare County?
It's in Dare County
mm-hmm.
in Kill Devil Coach Hill Thrills.
Oh, boy.
That's a reference to Saturday, one of my tweets, talking about Coach Hill and the Knights winning at First Flight. So this Kill Devil Coach Hill's thrill. I'm all about it. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is fun. Playoff time's fun. It wears on you.
Yes.
It makes you loopy. It makes you probably say some things you should never say.
Yes.
But so far, I haven't gotten to that level. What's waiting for Currituck is, of course, first flight. This will be the third meeting between the two teams. Currituck, obviously, their only two losses to first flight. First flight's a young team, but always talented in Dare County. Dare County loves its soccer. While I say it should be a Friday game, mostly because of the weather. Saturday and Sunday look like just washouts. Not that you would play on Sunday anyway. Saturday looks like a washout. Sorry, Potato Festival fans in Elizabeth City. It's going to be wet. Wet potatoes. So Saturday washout. Friday looks decent. Play it Friday. Also, Currituck's got prom Saturday. You girls got to have the prom.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Currituck, you got a prom. You got to do that.
Yep.
You got a championship, you got a prom.
Yep.
Girls are going to be going to that. Mm-hmm. Although, crazy enough, the prom for Currituck is at the Hilton in Kitty Hawk.
Wow.
So, really, you could play like 11 or 12 on Saturday if it was nice, finish the game, stay at the Hilton and get your hair did, get the dress up, everything looking nice, style, profile, there's your prom. You don't even have to drive back to Currituck. You stay in Dare County for the whole thing. I've got this all figured out.
Makes too much sense.
I am very analytical when it comes to what's going on right now, because we have to be planning. We have to think of this. There you go, Currituck. So you can play Saturday if you want to, because you can play in the rain with soccer. Mm-hmm. They showed that at Dixon. Mm-hmm. You can play in some rain. Lightning, thunder, no. But if it rains, why not? Play Saturday. Camden girls soccer lost to East Carteret, third round, 1A playoffs, 4-0. So that's what we got. What a spring season, Malcolm, for the Northeastern Coastal Conference. I admit, I looked into this spring season thinking, I don't see much out of this. I don't see a whole lot going on, maybe Eatonton baseball. But here we are, top two girls soccer teams in the fourth round, when this isn't supposed to be the soccer area. That's usually the Onslow County schools. Well, look what happened. Whoops. Baseball champ four rounds deep. A wild card making the third round. Northeastern boys track second in the East Regional. Currituck girls also second. Athletes live here, people.
Absolutely.
Look at that. I didn't even talk about the Coastal 10. Mm-hmm. What Perquimans softball is doing, making the fourth round for a second straight year. You don't just do that. And Coach Robert Spruill said it best to me. He said, Owen, I like to have winning teams. Yes, understatement of the year. But tradition with programs makes it better. I want to see that. And he reeled it off last 5 years. Third round, first round, fourth round, fourth round. That's a nice 5-year stretch. You're always going to have a year in there where you're rebuilding. But if you're averaging, let's go ahead and say averaging third round of the playoffs, a lot of teams would love to be able to do that. And that's what Perquimans softball is starting to do. And you got a battery in McCray Knapp and Caitlin Christian. They're just sophomores. You got them for 2 more years. Mm-hmm. And really a young team overall. Future looks real nice in Hartford. Even after realignment starts. So a lot of playoff stuff. We're going to get some predictions later in the show for some of these other playoff games. Coach McGee, you've been patient with us with all the playoff talk. 10 or so days into meeting your new team, spring workouts. First impressions of a program that you took joy in beating almost a year ago on your new field. Your first impressions.
Well, kind of really what I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's a group of kids that they're very eager. They want to win. You know, they have very high expectations coming in last year, and you know, and then we faced them first game last year, and it was one of those games where really everything went right for us. I mean,
You went Steve Austin on them. That was a stomp in a mud hole and walking it dry. You knew the first play when Marcus Joyner moonwalked into the end zone. This could be a long night for the Panthers.
Right before that.
Yeah. I didn't even mention that. Sal's being nice, and you're not being nice at all.
Well, I mean, but like I said, that was just one of those games that, I mean, really everything went right. But it's a group. I've been extremely pleased. I mean, I met them I had a chance to talk to him. I guess it was 10 days, whatever, or so ago. But really, you know, Monday, we had our first workout, which was maybe about an hour after the board voted. So it happened very quick. But it really is. It's what I thought it was going to be. It's a group of kids that are, want some leadership. You know, they've gone 3 months without a head coach. And they want to be good. I mean, they do. They are prepared to work, or at least that's what it's seemed so far. Obviously, we haven't had, you know, you never know what it's going to look like, how that first, when you have that adversity, which is, you know, inevitably going to come and probably come quickly. But it's just a group of kids that they're kind of like any other. I mean, they want to win. They want to do well. And so I've been very pleased. Like I said, the numbers have been good, and the work ethic's been good so far. So it's going to be something we have to build, and they're going to, like I told them, they got to learn me, I got to learn them, and, you know, it's going to take some time for that to happen, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Camden, your first head coaching gig, but now going into 2016, no Marcus Joyner. Headed to Old Dominion, a few other key losses. Camden's transitioning into the new Purple Aces Reign Conference. That's our Prince-inspired theme name for the new 1A conference, Purple Plymouth Aces Reign Conference, something like that. We're still working on it. There's another year. Those things put into consideration, how did that factor into your decision, and how difficult was it to say, this was a great opportunity that you gave me, but I'm taking another one?
Oh, it was I probably can't even verbalize how hard it was. Again, everything, it happened fairly quickly. Obviously, they were with that one for a while, and they had some pieces not fall into place for them with kind of what they were doing at Pasquotank before. And Coach Barlow and I had a conversation, and we kind of talked about some things, and then I talked to as many people as I could about the program, about the school, what it was like. I mean, you know, you hear all these stories of what it's like there, what it's like in the school, what it's like on the football field, and so I really wanted to find out exactly what I was stepping into. And so, I mean, I spent about 2 weeks of sleepless nights. You know, my wife and I, my family and I talked extensively, went back and forth, and it was hard. I mean, Camden's a great school. The kids are great. You know, I had a chance to be under Coach Jones, who's just an unbelievable person, and then Coach Harnley, who is equally a good person. And so whenever you're in a good situation, it's very, very hard to leave. But, you know, I felt like it was a move up from in as far as divisions, from the 1A to the 2A level. And Elizabeth City is home for me. I moved there when I was 9 months old. And even though Pasquotank wasn't in existence when I came through, still a lot of the people I went to school with and the people that I know are there now. So it was very, very difficult for me to leave Camden.
And I would think you talked to your dad, Jerry, about the decision, a former longtime coach, athletic administrator, and now in the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, another one, Northeastern coach Antonio Moore. I think y'all played together at some point. I don't know. I guess you played maybe a year together at Northeastern.
Yes, yeah, he's a little older than I, but yes. Yeah. And I actually tore my ACL in the second game of my freshman year. But, yeah, we did have a year there together.
Of course, under Eric McDaniels with the Eagles there in the 1990s.
Correct.
I know it's maybe going a little too far ahead of things, but people are thinking about it. Excited about those matchups with Moore and the Northeastern Pasquotank rivalry that's really taken a back seat because of the dominance of Northeastern. But what did he tell you about this move, this possible move that you wanted to make?
Well, we had a chance to talk, and we talked several times, and we talk probably every 2 or 3 weeks during the season, and so it's not, you know, rare for us to talk about things. But he was looking at it from a coach's perspective, and we talked through some things, and he was kind of, I would say he was for the move. I mean, he thought it was a good idea, and he was excited to have, you know, kind of that rivalry maybe reignited or ignited, because it has been kind of a one-sided show, especially on the football field. We had a good conversation, and it was nice to. It's always nice to bounce ideas off somebody that coaches and also coaches in Elizabeth City. And so, we had a good conversation, and I felt good after getting off the phone with him.
Yeah, obviously, the older generations remember your dad and the number of places he coached at, and being from here.
Sure.
Do you see yourself not having to explain that much to this generation because they don't know him? You are. It's a little bit easier for you to make your own name because of that, or do you see that as helping you? How do you look at that now?
Yeah, you know, I've never really felt. The only pressure I've felt from, you know, him from him being my dad and kind of following. I've never felt like a win-loss kind of pressure. The only pressure I've always felt is he's always stressed doing things classy, being class act and doing those kind of things. And so as far as pressure from what he's done and his accomplishments, that's really all the only pressure I've felt. He's in every Hall of Fame that has to do with athletics around. I mean, I've been traveling to him, it's kind of almost gotten to a point where we'll get a phone call or an email, and it's kind of, okay, here's another one. And I understand. That's not my goal, is to achieve those things that he has, and it never has been. I don't feel the pressure for that. I really just feel the pressure of doing things the right way, being a class act, and putting a good product on the field. But yeah, I mean, the kids don't know. The kids certainly, they don't have a clue who Jerry McGee is. Like you said, the older generation does, and there are a lot that are still in the system. But the kids, I mean, some of them didn't even know. I mean, they don't even know who the coach. I was the coach at Camden. Or, I mean, they don't. They just
They didn't know you were the coach at Camden.
Some did. But some did not. I mean,
some didn't even know.
The younger kid, they didn't know. The older, some of the younger ones did, but some of the young ones didn't. What? I mean, that's not their priority. If it's not on Twitter or whatever, it's not going in very often. So
I guess they can't say but so much. Thanks, Coach, for kicking our tail. I'm glad you're on our side. How do you start that conversation? Sorry I did that, but this is why I want to be here.
We actually talked about that game some today afterwards, not during during practice, but afterwards, where a few of us had a chance to talk a little bit. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, getting to Pascal Tank, some nice pieces back. A team that, like you said, and I think everybody has said, very much underachieved last fall, Marcus and Michael Cow. Speedy twins, now seniors. You got some size there with guys like Corey Jackson, Samuel Bingham, all-around athlete. I think he's just be a sophomore next year. And some of these guys are running track right now, so I know you don't get to work with them too much, at least the next few weeks. But do you have to change some of your offensive schemes? I know you're an offensive guy because, you threw the ball more at Camden since, let's put it out there. The first recorded forward pass at Camden happened in Coach Chris McGee's first game. it took that long. Some schools did it back in the 20s, but Hamden waited until 2014. So you did that there. So right. Are you going to have to change some schemes to match the talent here?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the beautiful things about this offense, which, you know, you talked about Coach McDaniels. I mean, it's really, I base it out of that. I mean, and we talked about Coach Moore at Northeastern, he does as well. And then, you know, we put our own flair on it and our own mix on it. But terminology-wise, it's all the same. But, yeah, like I said, one of the beautiful things about the offense is, you know, if you have a 250-pound Marcus Joyner, you can, you know, you can pound it up the middle a lot. If you have the Cal twins, it's obviously versatile enough that you can get them in some space as well. And we did that a little bit with J.R. especially. Later on in the year, J.R. Williams did a great job with some of the screens and getting the ball. And Trevor Carr also getting it on the outside. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I told the guys. I mean, my job is to get the hands. Get the ball in the hands of the best players, and however that happens, so be it. But we'll still base out of the same look, but we'll definitely have a lot of different wrinkles to try to get the ball in those guys' hands. And like you said, there are some really good looking athletes that I've had a chance to see so far.
Yeah. First game, Haskell Tank at Camden. It's had to cross your mind just once or twice.
Sure.
I'm calling it the Trader McGee game.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon? No. Am I pouring it on? Come on.
Yeah. That's right.
No, it's the welcome. It's the homecoming.
Yes. Okay.
There it is.
Not for them. It's
the personal. Yeah. Right. Well, isn't it going to be hard to manage some emotions here? You've got to stay focused as your new team, but at the same time, you're looking across. That was your old team, and it was mm-hmm. a place you got to know, and so many people. You already talked about Coach Mark Harnley and Coach Scott Jones. People like that are really classy people and have built such a really solid program at Camden, and you're having to look across from them now after this whirlwind romance, as we said, and taking the Pascal Tank job.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a double-edged sword in a way. I'm glad to get it out of the way early. And you know, my wife is still teaching over at Camden, and she's a Camden alum. And so the kids won't even be in school till after the second week of football. So I'm glad for her sake that she won't have to hear that talk yeah. in the school, you know, of that game. And no, the kids will be, by the time you know, school starts, they'll be moved on. They've already played Curry Tuck. But, yeah, you know, and I've had a chance. I've talked to several of our the Camden kids, and they were supportive. I mean, they, you know, they were hurt and shocked as they should have been. And it's like I told them, you know, I said, this is not your fault, and you know, you didn't do anything to deserve it. But they've had a great attitude, as I would expect, and they've said they're gonna kick my rear end and then give me a big hug after the game. So I would expect nothing less out of them. And but like I said, it's not ideal, obviously, to have to go back week one. But the good news is it'll be out of the way, and then we'll both have bigger fish to fry as soon as that one's done.
WRVS 89.9 provides training for all students and volunteers interested in radio broadcasting. But without your donations, this radio station will go silent. Let's make a sound today. Now is a great time to give back to public radio. Make a tax-deductible donation by calling 252-335-3985 or online at www.ecsu.edu/WRVS.
Get dirty at the club, yeah. Usually round your waist like a chain, but then
the obligatory Prince song. Yeah. NENC Sports Radio Show. With you, Owen Hassel, sports editor, Daily Advance, Elizabeth City. Malcolm Shields here, Advance sports writer, and talking with Chris McGee, new football coach at Pasqua Tank. Why don't we go ahead and Shamone now?
Shamone, Shamone, get on me, all right.
It happened quickly. This move with Pascal Tank and McGee by about late April, when things really got talked. The recommendation was made for the hire. And then the Elizabeth City Pascal Tank Public Schools Board of Education let it sit for more than 2 weeks before giving its approval. Now, if these decisions are typically approved with little concern, then why wait so long? Go ahead and set up a meeting, add it to the agenda, throw a few other closed door matters in there, and you got something. I mean, every day it was hanging out there, it gave people more reason to spread the news, and sometimes news gets spread attached to it that's not correct. Other stuff happens. Other stuff is said. Oh, well, he just got fired maybe before he moves. Crazy stuff. I'm not saying that was actually put out there, but you never know. The longer you let something linger. And if the board says, it's sports, it's not that important to do it like that. Those are lies. Because if it wasn't that crucial, one, why do you have to approve it? Two, why send out a press release soon afterwards? I don't see press releases on every teacher hired in the district. I don't see those coming through to the paper. Hey, we hired another teacher today. I don't see that. You also leave two schools in some sort of limbo with such a delay. Because, say the board doesn't approve it. It's happened before. Eric McDaniels or Edenton. Yeah. Sorry, I had a dog in my throat there. So, there's a few weeks lost for Pascal Tank to find someone else. And then you got the awkwardness of Camden keeping a coach it thought was gone. Elizabeth City Pascal Tank Board spending time with the running away man challenge. Shamone now.
Shamone. Shamone.
In some defense of the board, school superintendent Larry Kartner, he emailed us and was very appreciative that we waited to publish the news. And rest assured, Mr. Kartner, if you wait again to decide something like this, and we already know about it, we're going to put it out. Cannot keep waiting on situations like that. And then people are coming up to us. I know they're coming up to me, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Hey, have you heard? Coach McGee, hadn't you heard about that? Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We cannot get it out yet. We're being very considerate. But sometimes you just got to roll with it. And if we were in a bigger media market, then we would be pushed. It's just all there is to it.
Discover graduate education at Elizabeth City State University. ECSU currently offers 4 graduate degree programs: elementary education, biological sciences, school administration, and mathematics. To learn more, contact the Office of Graduate Education at 252-335-3947 or online at ecsu.edu.
All right, we're going to take it back to Currituck Edenton baseball from Wednesday.
NENC Twitter shouts.
There's a Edenton fan, Mr. Hackney High, son of Aces senior outfielder William High. He's at W. Hackney High Jr., J.R. This is what he tweeted. Congratulations to Berquimans Pirates baseball on a successful season. I've always appreciated the way they play the game. I must agree. With a lot of fight that the Pirates had, especially later in the year, finished 3rd in the Coastal 10. And then, let's back up a little bit, lost 11 seniors the year before. Just seemed like everybody. And they had big aspirations the year before and got to the third round. This year, incredibly young team, got to the third round. I'm rationalizing. I'm putting that together, but that says something to, again, that whole program talk, establishing a program and expecting to be there no matter what's on your team. You still expect to be there. It's like you don't know anything different. And that's kind of how Berquimans played things out, went to Camden. And now Camden beat Berquimans twice in the regular season, but both those games, Malcolm,
pretty close.
You were at one of them, right?
Yep.
You were not at one of them.
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you were.
I was at the softball.
You were at the softball. Right. Yeah, see. But either way, two close games. One by two runs, the other one by one. So I think everyone at that park knew that it could very well go Brequemin's way in the third matchup. That's what it did. So good year for Brequemin's. We encourage all of you to tweet about NENC Sports, and yours might get put on the air. Just post your thoughts or questions. We'll try to answer them. Use the hashtag NENC Sports. State track meet, 1A and 2A. Malcolm, the 1A Friday.
Yes.
2A Saturday, all at North Carolina A&T in Greensboro. Always do a great job there. You've got a list of everyone competing in the northeast corner. I'll let you take it away. A lot of people.
All righty. Starting off for Currituck, the girls who finished second in the East Regional last week. Breanne Nixon, she qualified in the 100. Amberine Brown in the 100. Madison Davis in the 800. Isis Saunders in the 300 hurdles. 4x2 for the girls. 4x4 and the 4x8. Juliana Chalk in the 800. And Destiny Freebie in the discus. For Edenson boys, Nick Cofield. Had a top three distance in the triple jump for Pascal Tank. The girls, Audrea Morgan, who's had a spectacular year, finished third at the East Regional in the 100. She's a part of the 4x1. The 4x2 for Pascal Tank also qualified. Samuel Bigham for the Pascal Tank boys, he qualified for the 100. Looking at Northeastern, they had a lot of athletes qualify. The boys finished in second place in the 2A East, going to the girls. Nyla Harris qualified for the 400. Shari Welsh in the high jump. The boys 4x8 and the 4x2 qualified. Going back to the boys, Tedrick Shannon, who's had a monster year. First place in the 400 to 800, and it was a part of the 4x4 and the 4x8 that also qualified. Going to the field, Tylee Kellogg and Traquan Billups finished second and third, respectively, in the high jump. And it looks like from the Northeastern Coastal Conference, a lot of athletes had a pretty good day last Saturday. Looking at the 1As for Camden, Destiny Blount, she finished in first place in the 100. Sydney McGee, second in the 100. The 4x1 for the Camden girls qualified, along with the 4x2. Sydney McCoy again in the long jump. Trevor Carr for the boys had a qualifying time in the 400. Ryan Wentz came in first place in the high jump. And then for Brequemin's, Ashley Felton, 300 hurdles. She came in first place, knocked off one of her nemesis in the Coastal 10 to actually take that. Surprisingly, the Brequemin's 4x2 qualified for the state championship meet. Chantasia Lee qualified along with Daniel Mallory in the shot put.
And an athlete that you'll be writing about, Taekwon Fain?
Taekwon Fain, yes. He's qualified for the 100, 200, 400, and the shot put in the wheelchair events.
Yeah. One of only like 7 or 8 wheelchair athletes, I think, in the state,
yeah.
1A through 4A.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in the shot put, he'll have one other athlete that he'll be competing against, but the other ones, it looks like he'll have a good chance. It's a possibility that he could, in his first year ever competing in track and field, could walk away with 4 state championships.
Don't you ever think about stuff like that, Malcolm, and you go, why do I have excuses?
Yeah.
Why am I giving an excuse for something?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you see a guy like that, mm-hmm. still competing and enjoying life, mm-hmm. and being able to play sports at that level, mm-hmm. To me, it's very inspiring. I think it almost goes without saying.
Absolutely.
So... Oh, a lot of track stuff.
Yes.
You got through it.
Yes.
You got through it. Congratulations. Yeah. We'll get you. Got a glass of water somewhere?
Pat him on back. Totally.
Yeah. predictions. Playoff predictions.
NENC picks of the week.
Let's start with Brequemin's at Princeton softball, because Coach McGee knows a little bit about softball, so we can get him in on this. And you've already mentioned, Coach, about how Princeton seems to always have a few pitchers and a very good program there, but Brequemin's has been in this situation before. Last year, lost 1-0 to North Duplin. North Duplin wins the state championship. That was North Duplin's toughest game at Brequemin's, and it was 1-0. Could we see a low-scoring game, do you think, here?
Absolutely. Like I said, I have had a chance to play both of them. Now, it's been a couple of years, and I'm not in the loop, but it's going to be tough for Quinlan's to go into Princeton, I would think. It's a little bit of a drive. It's going to be a three-hour drive, and then just based on what I've seen out of Princeton, I know they're going to be very, very tough. And again, I know Perquimans is a little bit on the young side. So I would probably give the edge to Princeton in that one.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do the same, mostly because of that drive. And I don't know if it was perhaps a better league that Princeton plays in. Normally it is for softball. The Coastal 10, pretty top-heavy. After you get through Perquimans and Camden, I mean, Manio had a solid year. You can even make a point with Gates, but there was a drop-off. There was a drop-off. And of course, you got so many teams. You know, the Coastal 22, the Coastal 10, excuse me. But no Ocracoke and no Plymouth this year. So you really only had eight. Again, though, it was Perquimans, Camden, and really the rest. So I will give Princeton the edge. Malcolm?
I'll go with Princeton.
Okay. Perquimans suddenly doesn't like us anymore. We've been very nice to them, but just calling it like we see it. Hopefully, I like to be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time.
Absolutely.
South Columbus?
Yes.
At Edenton, fourth round, two-way state playoffs for a chance to get to that regional three-game series. If Edenton can get to that series, boy, that's going to look real good for the Aces. I've seen teams get tripped up in the fourth round, and I've gone, man, if they could have, with the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. The one-game situations make it really difficult. I would like to think on Friday you're going to have, like you said, Patrick Downham.
Correct.
Will be pitching. It's at Edenton. I'm going to give this one to the Aces. Again, the pitching staff, the hitting comes around enough.
Mm-hmm.
Aces win. I'm going to give it like a 5-2 game. What do you got?
I'm going to go with Edenton. It just seems like, you know, every time they needed a break, they've gotten a break, and the pitching has been one of the things that's been the most consistent thing for this team this year. I'm going to go with Edenton.
Coach McGee, you have a pick?
Sure. Well, I don't know a ton about either of the teams, but it sure sounds like Edenton's on the roll, so I'll go with Edenton as well.
Yeah. Currituck First Flight Girls Soccer in Killdouble Hills, round three. These two teams had a battle in Barco. First Flight pulled it out. When it went to Killdouble Hills, 5-0, First Flight. Not sure what broke down there, but maybe it was a snowball effect like Currituck was able to do to Dixon. I don't know. I wasn't there. You've got to think, though, Currituck is going to be some kind of fired up. And if you're First Flight, you're going, geez, we got to deal with them again. I don't like hearing the term hard to beat a team three times in a year. Not really. If you're the better team, right? I can beat them seven times, eight times. What's this three times tough thing? Where did that come from? Where do some of these sayings come from? did your dad think of this, Coach McGee? Is this one of those sayings?
I guess only if he lost to somebody a third time, maybe. But
yeah. So, Currituck First Flight. I still got to give it the First Flight, especially at Killdouble Hills. I just talented team, and First Flight for me.
Do you think at times with Currituck, it's the jersey, First Flight, is kind of mm-hmm. more like a mental thing?
Yeah, I think some of it is that for everybody, because you're looking at a program, boys and girls, mm-hmm. that rarely loses in the conference and has rarely lost since the school was built in 2004-05. Mm-hmm. It's been soccer, and they got a middle school program that may still be undefeated in like 20-some years. Mm-hmm. It's really been that ridiculous. I mean, you got the OBX Storm down there, just soccer, 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 soccer. A little bit of football. Soccer, 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 soccer. That's what it is in Dare County, and all you have to tell me about it is First Flight Girls Soccer has won a state championship. First Flight got a state championship before Camden got a state championship as a school. I'm sorry. That was the only thing that came to mind right there. And First Flight's only like 10 or so years old. They did it in girls soccer. They beat the almighty Cardinal Gibbons to do it. The hated charter school not charter, but non-traditional school. They beat almighty Raleigh Charlo Gimmons. They came back, I think, with a parade just for that. And they didn't win the state title yet. Mm-hmm. It was like the U.S. in 1980,
right,
the beating team, the Russians. Right. Mm-hmm. But remember, that wasn't the gold medal game.
That was the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Would it be Finland?
Something like that.
Yeah, for the gold medal. So that wasn't, but it felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that as the championship.
Right.
That would be, I'm not saying Currituck's that big of an underdog, but they're an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it. So First Flight.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with First Flight.
Coach McGee?
Yeah, I have a niece and nephew that go to First Flight, and there's several people involved with the Storm, and they are certainly all soccer. So I'm going to go with First Flight as well.
Oh. Any way you look at it, though, just a lot of good stuff going on. Fourth round to have this many teams. Gates Baseball.
Yes.
Still around thanks to rain. That's going to be playing Voyager Academy, those dreaded dreaded non-traditional charter schools in the third round. That's going to be tough for the Red Barons, but nothing to lose. Not supposed to win, another underdog situation, but Gates was an underdog just to get there. Shows how good the Coastal 10 baseball was this year.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that. Co-champions Manio and Camden didn't get as far as Gates and Perquimans. Hey, it's playoffs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Playoffs?
Yeah, all or nothing right there. So, oh, gosh. I think the sound of slow jams means we have to wrap it up.
Oh,
yeah, the double meaning.
Yes. It's a family show.
I didn't say anything bad.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, you got to remember to follow us on Twitter. That's where we're getting stuff like by the minute. At NENC Sports. I'm at ONOBX, Malcolm.
And Malcolm _ Shields.
For the latest sports updates, once again, also check us out online, dailyadvance.com. We almost always go beyond our radio time. So check out nencsports.podomatic.com for a podcast version of the show that has it all. Also buy the shirt, the NENC Sports t-shirt. Ask for one at your favorite area school. It's just $5. All $5 goes back to the athletic department where you bought the shirt. Support your school. Support the athletes of Northeastern North Carolina. Thanks again to Rick Duren and Biggs Cadillac, Buick, GMC for sponsoring the shirt. Rowan Hassel, Malcolm Shields, and new Pasquotank football coach Chris McGee. Coach, can we have you back on the show sometime?
Anytime. I'd love to.
That'd be great. It's the NENC, and don't you see,
athletes live here.
NENC Sports Radio Show is produced at the WRVS-FM studios on the campus of Elizabeth City State University.